Good morning, everybody. This is Jerry Hirschbeck and Tom McCurry, and with us is Brenda Vance. This is the winter edition for the Lawn and Garden Show. Welcome. Welcome, Tom. Welcome, Brenda.
Thank you, Jerry. Yeah,
thanks.
Hey, and before we get started, we're going to hear a few messages from our sponsors.
This is Wade Brew, Market President with Pinnacle Bank. Pinnacle Bank has been serving the lending needs of farmers, ranchers, and commercial business owners in the Wyobraska area, where we've called home for over 100 years. Let us put our resources to work for you with local decision-making from a family-owned bank. Give us a call or visit us at www.wypinnbank.com. Pinnacle Bank, Torrington & Mitchell, the way banking should be. Member FDIC.
Are you planning a kitchen remodel but don't know where to start?
Hi, this is Dan Shields from Century Lumber. Start with semi-custom diamond cabinets and Century Lumber. Diamond cabinets offer the latest door styles and finishes at an affordable price. I can walk you through all the features and benefits and provide a free estimate and expert design. Stop in and turn that vision of your dream kitchen into a reality with the help of Century Lumber Center in Torrington.
Ready to make your house the envy of the neighborhood? Then your first stop should be Great Gardens in Torrington, the region's largest and most gorgeous independent garden center. Stocked full of annuals, hanging baskets, veggies, perennials, trees, and shrubs, they have all of your gardening needs covered. They even have a large selection of decor to bring that wow factor to your yard and garden. Open year-round and ready for you now. Stop into Great Gardens, 1 mile west of Main Street in Torrington.
Concrete is hard. That's why you should hire J-Built Homes for your next concrete project. Jeff and the crew have experience in all different kinds of concrete designs with professional results. Take one look at J-Built Homes' website, jbuiltwyo.com, and the finished jobs speak for themselves. From driveways to patios, homes, or commercial projects, there's not a job too big or too small. Call Jeff today for a free estimate at 307-631-4449.
It's a plus when you know you can count on Landscaping Plus for not only your lawn and garden care around your home or office, but the plus comes in when the snow flies, as they'll take care of all that snow removal from driveways, sidewalks, and parking lots, home or business. Just give Rob a call at 532-6067 and set up all this year's snow removal from now till the last flake flies. That's Landscaping Plus, 532-6067, Torrington.
All right, we're back. With me is Tom McCurry and Brenda Vance. I asked Brenda in to talk about some pumpkins that she grows.
Okay, Jerry, what is the biggest pumpkin you've ever seen grown in Goshen County?
In Goshen? Oh, well, no, wait a minute. We had a guy from Worland bring one into the giant pumpkin way off, and I believe he was up around 1,400, I think. But, you know, in Goshen County, well, and then there's a guy in Cheyenne that's He's an attorney at Cheyenne. He's actually a pretty good grower as well. And he brought it up that one year there was like three big pumpkins. And then Painter Produce always brings in some pretty good-sized pumpkins. And I think his is, I'm just guessing, his was around 1,200 maybe.
Okay, Painter. How do they do that in Cheyenne, though? It's got cool nights. Maybe the pumpkins like it.
No, they don't.
They don't.
But they have like extended season tarps, houses, tents.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You know, a guy in Worland built a 30 by 50 garage with a dirt floor just to grow two or three pumpkins.
Oh, my golly.
And he's won Colorado Association heaviest pumpkin, and he's won, I don't know, a couple other pumpkin contest. So he does really, really well. But it's you have to have some sort of season extending device, a house, a hoop house, a large garage with transparent shades in it or transparent louvers in them and stuff. So it has to be very climate controlled. Yeah. So it's a, and then throw a whole bunch of chemicals at it.
Brenda, what kind of pumpkins do you grow? What hybrids do you remember?
I don't grow any hybrids. I just necessarily buy the seed and start from there. I don't save my seeds. Whatever trips my trigger when I'm looking at the packages and that kind of thing, going through Gurney's books or whatever. Yeah, we grow all kinds of types. from the little tiny guys to, I think, our biggest one was about 200 pounds.
Now, Brenda, my sister lived in Grand Junction, and she'd take her little tiny pumpkins up to Vail, and they would sell them for $2 a piece or $3 a piece for those little tiny ones because the restaurant owners wanted them for the fall.
Decorations.
Yeah, it was a land office business because you can grow a lot of little ones.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
We normally have between 80 and 100 pumpkins. We generally give ours all away. Mary Hauser at the Episcopal Church always has what they call a pumpkin walk. And that's just an event for young children to go for Halloween type treats. And they stop at each pumpkin stop and go from there. And we try and donate to that every year as well.
Good program.
So anytime anybody grows a pumpkin and gives a pumpkin, I know that there's a lot of joy in growing pumpkins. Myrna and I would go out and I go, hey, come over here, look at this one. Oh, what a pretty pumpkin. And then 2 feet away, oh, look at this one. So I know that it always brings a smile to everybody's attention if they are given a pumpkin or you place a pumpkin on somebody's doorstep. You know, it just brings a smile to them. We like the Gordy or the warty pumpkins.
The gnarly ones.
Yeah, yeah. And the gnarly, the better. It just makes it look like there's something coming out of a Twilight Zone thing. And I also like the little bat wings. They're dark green on the bottom and orange on the top. Mm-hmm. They call those bat wings.
And I'll have to try those this year.
Yeah, yeah. They're just a little guy.
Okay.
And I really like the white pumpkins.
I don't.
And I know you don't like white iris either.
Well, pumpkin should be orange or gnarly, either one. But and the pink Atlantic giants.
Yeah.
They're pinkish. And
some aren't. Some are really nice colored, and some have an offshoot, squashy looking color. And, you know, you shouldn't go by the color just because, hey, it should be. Well, yeah, traditionally oranges or pumpkins should be quite orange.
Yes.
Now, what color would the pie be if you used a white pumpkin?
Orange. All the fruit. the meat is actually orange.
Orange, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So.
So see, you're okay. Just open it up and
don't look
at the outside.
Don't look, Tom. Don't look.
But I have to. I just really prefer something like a Big Mac or something. And there's a lot of wonderful pumpkins out there.
Actually, you bet there are, and more all the time. And what I've seen is now they have a smaller pumpkin, you know, 4 to 5 pounds, but just with a huge handle. I mean, the handles are just abnormally large, and I just think that they're the best. Yeah. So we got a I think it's a Young's garden seed catalog the other day, and God, we've been tearing through that like crazy, and it just gives you that another sense of spring is coming. You know, it's not that far away now.
One day, which month?
One day. Well, I think we're scheduled for 3 days this year.
Okay, great.
typically, we don't have a spring, and some years we do have a nice spring. Mm-hmm. Very seldom. I'm predicting wet and cold, because that's when we generally get a lot of our water.
Well, we need the moisture, no matter how it gets here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Have either one of you started watering trees?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have some young trees that are, we've only had them for 2 years, and they get 5 gallons of water at least every 2 weeks.
Wow, good on you. Mine get it once a month.
With them being so young and the wind we've had, I know the wind is what's hardest on a young tree, especially, you know, with the cold on top of it. But the wind will really take the moisture out of them and inhibit the root protection. So that's why we water ours like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think it's strange because, well, the ground's frozen, the water won't go in, but that's not the case.
On a nice day, that water will seep in. You know, if it's nice enough to, you know, 50-degree weather is what I consider tree watering weather. We haven't had that for a couple of days now, but it'll start turning around again. We'll have some nice days eventually. And But yeah, we certainly have not gotten much snow cover. We're looking forward to some of us more so than others. I particularly do not like snow because it makes the roads and the walkways all slick. So everybody's got to be careful when walking on ice and snow.
They have little crampons that you can put on the bottoms of your shoes, Jerry. Yeah. They're like little teeth, so you stay upright.
I've seen those, and I've actually worn them a couple of times, and they got lost along the way. It's like the three little kittens who lost a mitten. Well, I lost one, and then what good is just one? I suppose better than a sharp stick in the eye or falling down on the snow. Hey, why don't we take a quick break for a word from our sponsors? We'll be right back.
Need some help mowing your lawn? Then let Levi's Lawn Care help you out this summer. Levi can mow your yard at very affordable prices. He starts at around $20 per week, and that includes mowing and trimming. Levi can also aerate your lawn and offers tree trimming and stump grinding. Let Levi take care of the mowing duties of your lawn this summer. Give him a call at 575-1626. That's 575-1626.
Not sure if you're on the right track? Platte Valley Bank can help keep your finances moving forward. Having a plan to save and spend can help build your financial confidence. Knowing you have the right savings plan can help build your financial success. With free tools like online banking and helpful products like automatic savings plans and budgeting tools, you are in control of your financial future. Start saving today at www.pvbank.com. You belong here.
Platte Valley Bank, member FDIC.
Does it seem like the grass is always greener in your neighbor's yard? Well, that's because your neighbor had Sunrise Sprinkler install an underground sprinkler system. Sunrise Sprinkler in Torrington is the top choice for underground sprinkler systems. Give Chris Miller a call at 575-4300. Sunrise Sprinkler can give you a free estimate on a sprinkler system, and you can find out about the many other services that they offer. Give them a call today at 575-4300. Sunrise Sprinkler in Torrington.
Our producers know that running a successful operation these days requires having reliable service and quality products. That's why you know you can trust the knowledgeable people at Westco to provide you sound agronomic advice, aerial application, bulk fuel, lubricants, propane, tires, and other essentials to keep your operation running smoothly. Our priority is helping you succeed. Call or visit your nearest Westco location today. Westco. Service. Solutions. Success.
Westco's your best value through and through.
Lawn getting that old worn-out look? Having to water and mow too often? Then it's time to call Torrington Sod Farm. They'll be happy to visit with you and show you why sod is the right answer. Call 532-2777. Torrington Sod Farm has been serving the area since 1999 and pride themselves on their service, quality sod, and exceeding customer expectations. They look forward to serving you, so give them a call for a free quote at 532-2777. Torrington Sod Farm. They make it easy being green.
Are you interested in learning more about bonsai? Peaceful Prairie Nursery in Mitchell, Nebraska is hosting an Introduction to Bonsai class on February 24th at 10 a.m. The class fee of $55 includes the class, jade plant to work on, and use of tools. Or for an extra $10, get a limber pine to work on. Learn about the art of bonsai with Peaceful Prairie Nursery, February 24th at 10 a.m. Call today to sign up at 308-631-7452 or find them on Facebook, Peaceful Prairie Nursery in Mitchell.
All right, welcome back to the winter edition of the Lawn and Garden Show. With me today is Tom McCurry and Brenda Vance. We've been talking about grown pumpkins. What about lawn care for the winter? Do you do anything with your lawn? Do you water it? Do you just let it go?
My lawn's so small that I cut it real short because we had a lady from Casper that said you could get rid of the fungus because I had getting a lot of winter fungus. And then in the spring, you got spots. This year, I cut it way short, and it worked great. I mean, I don't have any spots yet.
Wasn't the winter fungus because last year we had so much snow that just seemed to set there, and then it either got too wet or that it just had that winter kill because of the snow lying on top of it along with some fungus?
That could well be, Jerry, because
yeah.
But I always left mine 3 inches during, or two and a half during the summer, and then didn't cut it off. And this year I cut it short.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be hard on your turf, but it's not.
Not so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
We always keep our lawnmower up and going because we have a honey locust tree, and it kicks out pods. And so we finally got them all cleaned up. Good to our neighbor's dismay here. He goes, boy, I sure hope the wind blows from the east next year. But, you know, it's just one of those deals. Every tree has its pros and cons.
We always cut our lawn very short, too, right before winter sets in. We have pine trees. And so I know the needles are recyclable. So, but I don't like to put them on my garden. I like to garden barefoot. I like to have my feet in the dirt. And when a pine needle doesn't do what it's supposed to do in the recycling process, it's no fun.
My mother-in-law was a seamstress, and she had a tendency to drop needles. And that's no fun either, to go barefoot or even with a sock. That sock doesn't provide much protection. And she had giggled. She'd, oh, you found one of my needles. To go, yep.
Brendan and I talked before the show today about nutrients in her pumpkins. And Brendan talked about having a tough time growing big ones. And Brenda, you might want to try sulfur because you drop the pH in the soil. And that might help because then, I've said this many times, but what it does is makes available other nutrients in the soil. So you might want to try that. You can get sulfur at any of the garden stores. And
how much and which do you recommend, a pellet or just the powder?
I use a small pellet. I get a 5-pound bag, and I sprinkle it every year. I've got garden beds and tubs, and you might want to go ahead and try that. You can't put, I mean, don't dump a ton on, but I put it on everything. Trees, the conifers, I don't put it on because they, with the needles, they create their own acid. So you might want to try it.
So we buy the 50-pound bags, and we buy 2 or 3 of them, my neighbor and I, he has a third of an acre, I have a third of an acre, and we have voles, and we're trying to, I hate those, and we're trying to make them move, not exterminate them, but just irritate them enough that they move. And, you know, it's like the tumbleweeds. What do most people do with tumbleweeds? You know, well, they pick it off of one fence and they lift it up and put it on the other side. So we want to get rid of those voles. And if they should happen to eat some sulfur and choke on it, that's all the better for me. But we utilize a lot of sulfur. But once you use sulfur, you got to use sulfur all the time.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm sure, like you said, Tom, you can use too much, but you have to go a long way before you use way too much.
Yeah, we've tried potassium and other supplements before, mm-hmm. but I've never tried sulfur, so thanks. If I grow a big one, I'll name it after you.
Oh, very good.
Put my name on it.
Yeah.
We had some kittens, and I told my nephew, who lives in Texas, I said, oh, Jason, don't you want one of our little kitties? I'll send it to you. He goes, no, just put my name on it and leave him there. So we had a cat named Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of an honor, isn't it, Tom, to have a pumpkin named after you?
It is an honor.
But no, we save our seeds. We have a whole slew of seeds. I should give you some. I especially have a bunch of those gnarly seeds, the gnarly pumpkin seeds.
The goblin ones.
The goblins, yeah.
Good.
And they're spooky. You know, you kind of think of smallpox or, you know, gee whiz, what happened to that one? Smallpox. Well, not really, but just the genetics of it makes lumps appear. And they're different little colors. Some are green, some are orange-green, some are orange-green and black.
All on the same pumpkin?
All on the same pumpkin.
Wow, that's a bad case of acne also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they look odd, but they're so much fun.
Great. I'll expect the seeds early in the spring.
Early in the spring, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe I'll give them to Tom, and Tom can throw them off on his way by on his bicycle trips.
I can. I'd be glad to do that.
All right. Are you an iris grower?
They were my mom's favorite flowers. So, yeah, we have a number of them, and some of them are at least 50 years old.
Wow, 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 wow. Tom and I have been trading iris back and forth for 40 years.
At least.
At least 40.
And we used to, in the springtime, Phil Vanderpool and Jerry and I drive down the alleys just to look at the iris. Because everybody plants them. Not everybody, but.
Well, there were a lot of people. And, you know, there are not so many in the alleyways anymore.
Now, is that how you got your wide variety?
No.
Oh, no. Okay.
We did not steal iris, but you know, at my old shop, we grew them on the alley, and gosh, one day we come along and there was a note saying, "Hey, I cleaned up your iris bed and I took a few." You go, wait a minute. So we had some really, really nice hybrid irises, and you know, some of those colors just don't come around that often.
So, Jerry, I planted some iris in the front yard under those Mayday trees.
Right.
Not enough sunshine.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to dig them this year and plant them where there's sun.
A little more sunshine.
Yeah, because they won't make.
Well, they'll grow, but they won't flower.
Right.
Yeah. So, my Aunt May grew iris, and she said, the more water you put on them, the better they are. Well, I've found that iris are one of those plants you can ignore, you can starve, you can fertilize the crap out of them. Whatever you do to them, they're going to be an okay flower.
I was out at Hageman's riding mountain biking, and Jim Hageman lived up the canyon, and he hadn't been there. They'd moved closer to the highway, and he had iris out there. The weeds are growing around them, and they were just doing great. They didn't.
They were just happy little campers, weren't they?
Exactly.
Yeah. A lot of old farmhouses, old areas, just like you said, somebody moves away from it. The iris still stays there. They can maintain themselves even with just whatever weather gives them that moisture. Mm-hmm. They're really an excellent plant for a beginner gardener, because they're so resilient. I told a story of my brother lived in Texas. He rode his motorcycle, and he had we gave him a plastic sack full of iris, and he got down to Texas, and it was a while before he cleaned out his saddlebags, and he threw it on the floor in his garage, and 5-6 months went down the road, and he goes, what's these? Oh, they're iris. I should plant those. Well, they came alive and came back. They're so tough and resilient.
They're just hardy.
Very, very hardy. Mm-hmm. Well, here we come to another end of the winter session of Lawn and Garden. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a hoot. Tom, thank you. Brenda, thank you for coming in. And we'll talk to you all again.